Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Palmemordet. Palmemordskonferensen 2023.
Sveriges statsminister Olof Palme är död.
90 000.
Ja, det är mord på Sveavägen.
Hörde de säga att det är Palme som är skjuten?
Mordvapnet med säkerhet i en Smith & Wesson, en revolver kaliber .357.
Inte ett svar. Det finns inte ett svar. För jag har inget. Och jag har inte varit detta. Varför ska jag?
Polisen söker en man i 35-40-årsåldern med mörkt hår och lång mörk rock.
Välkomna till podden Palmemordet som idag görs av mig, Tobias Henriksson på PRS Media. Idag spelar vi in i en lägenhet i Stockholmsregionen och det beror såklart på att det just i dagarna är Olof Palmes dödsdag. Det var ju den 28 februari för 37 år sedan som den tragiska och ödesdigra händelsen inträffade. I veckan har vi också hållit en palmevandring för våra sponsorer, något som du kommer att få höra mer om i kommande avsnitt. Och om du vill stötta oss och bli en av dem som blir inbjuden till framtida vandringar, gå in på patreon.com/palmemordet och donera en summa som podden får per publicerat avsnitt. Det är alltså patreon.com/palmemordet. Om du hellre vill göra en engångsdonation, ja, då hittar du uppgifterna om detta i avsnittsbeskrivningen. Idag ska vi prata om en annan av de händelser som inträffade under veckan, nämligen den första av förhoppningsvis många Palmemordskonferenser. Bakom det här initiativet stod Palmemordsarkivet med Jonas Nyman och Mattias Kressmark i spetsen och runt 100 personer hade dykt upp för att lyssna på de många talarna. Ni som inte var där, ja, ni missade definitivt något och vi kommer till några av anledningarna. För det var en stor mängd kända ansikten som fanns såväl i publiken som på scen. Dagen började med mingel i foajén innan det var dags för den första talaren att hålla sitt anförande. Allas vår Gunnar Wall intog scenen och satte publiken i en hypotetisk situation. Hur skulle du agera om du blev vittne till det som hänt i korsningen Sveavägen-Tunnelgatan? Gunnar visade också prov på komisk talang genom att göra en inte alls oäven imitation av kommissarie Clouseau i slutet av anförandet. Nästa person på scenen var faktiskt undertecknad, men inte för att själv prata utan för att presentera initiativtagaren Jonas Nyman som berättade om två misstänkta i sammanhanget runt Swedenborgsgruppen. Efter det fick vi också lyssna på den tidigare nämnde Leif Seilich Jensens änka som höll ett kortare anförande om sin man och misstankarna mot honom. Om ni är intresserade av det ämnet, lyssna på serien om Swedenborgskyrkan som jag gjorde tillsammans med just Jonas Nyman. Där finns också ett avsnitt med änkans berättelse. Jonas kom i sin tur att presentera den danske journalisten Christian Kirkmuff som tittat närmare på Palmemordet och Stay Behind. I en paus fick jag ett längre samtal med Christian och hans kollega Anders och jag tänkte att vi skulle lyssna på det nu. Vi valde att göra intervjun på engelska vis av erfarenheten från avsnitten med Paul Smith, där många tyckte det var svårt att förstå vad som sades. Även anförandet på konferensen som Christian gjorde hölls på engelska. Och jag märkte relativt snabbt att det var ett tag sedan jag intervjuade på andra språk än svenska. Men jag hoppas att ni kan hänga med i vad som sägs ändå.
Yes, my name is Christian Kirkmoff. I have a podcast in Denmark with Anders, who's beside me here, called The Hemmeligste af det Hemmelige. I've been working as a journalist since 2015. Before that, I worked in gaming. I did a game called Hitman. I worked for Denmark's Radio. I worked for IBM, and I worked for a lot of big companies, and that got really boring. And then investigative journalism just ran away with it, and I got interested in the Palme murder. I had been, you know, ever since it happened, I was 18 at the time, I was aware of what was going on.
Yep.
With the Palme murder, and that wasn't much. But then a few years ago, I really got into the rabbit hole and said my goodbyes to friends and family, and then went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we all been there.
Yes, yeah, and we will end there again. Yeah. So yeah, so that's more or less that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a few years ago, I started working with Anders,
yeah.
And we've been we talked so much,
yeah,
about Palme and secret intelligence services, yeah, and special operations and the Cold War, and yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. And Anders, you have a background in working at the radio.
Yeah, I've been a journalist for many years. Yeah. My name is Anders Christiansen, mm-hmm, and I've been working in radio, talk radio, for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Done a lot of other shows, and a couple of years ago, I was asked to do a true crime show. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it because I don't actually like true crime. I don't think it's tasteful to, sure, make entertainment out of murder. Mm. But I said, okay, if I could find a case where it was just more than a murder, mm-hmm, it was something important, maybe something where we could talk about the world and how the world is operating, I would do it. Mm. And then I thought maybe the Palme case would do that. And I started, and really quick I just could feel that something is not adding up. Mm. And we had a friend, actually my boss at the time, who knows Christian, said, try to call him. Yep. He might be good on your show. And I did. And he was right. My boss was right. Christian was really good. And especially when we came about the stay behind thing, Skandiahuset, and that stuff. We just it blew our mind because we didn't know a lot, and we just started to really get into the stay behind all over Europe,
yeah,
and sometimes actually forgot about that Olof Palme had been killed because,
yeah,
we were just interesting in what is this structure, what is this thing that have been in Europe during the Cold War.
Yeah.
So that's actually our main focus.
Yeah. And of course, we're sitting at the Palme Mordet conference in Stockholm, and you have been talking a bit about what you have found during this journey. But can you please tell the listeners a little bit of what you have found or discovered?
Well, we only talked a little bit. We only told a little bit of what we found today because it was a 40-minute talk, and we've done 50 hours of radio.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, but mainly, one of the main things that have come out and has become clearer and clearer is the character of Anders Larsson. He's the guy who, your listeners will know who Anders Larsson is. I don't need to introduce him. But so much new stuff has come, so much new data has come connecting, relating to him. We spent some time looking into who is that guy really? Who is the guy who himself, 6 weeks after the murder, tells the police that he had warned them a week before,
sure,
in that famous letter? It's just, you know, to underline that he himself called it a warning letter, and shortly after the murder. And so let's take that serious. How could a guy like that know that? And that's what we talk about today. And I tried to demonstrate that Anders Larsson is operative in the gray area of intelligence services and political the political struggle as a war instead of a debate. So he was a political warrior. He was not a political, you know, a guy who talked and debated and worked in normal party politics. He worked in politics, you know, where politics is adjacent to violence. You know,
hands on
and dirty stuff. Yeah, and he did that for 20 years. And through these 20 years, he's connected to a range of people who we know are trained intelligence operatives. And one of the things we showed them today was that we can connect Anders Larsson to the former foreign minister of Denmark, who was the staunchest anti-communist in Danish public life in the Cold War, and was part of a secret CIA-founded intelligence service in Denmark, where he sort of was the political cover for that organization. And he was instrumental in creating World Anti-Communist League. So the guys that we can connect Anders Larsson to are very, very important and serious guys in the international anti-communist world. This is an insider. Basically, what I was saying today was that Anders Larsson is a genuine whistleblower. And if he's a genuine whistleblower, then the knowledge and the planning of the murder is from his world. And that points us to police sport, military sport, and that whole Valingatan, Baltiske Komiteen, that whole world that Anders Larsson inhabits. It's somewhere in there he gets the information. And he himself points to Bo Reiner Ståhl. And if you look at who Bo Reiner Ståhl is connected to through his engagement in the Swedenborg Group, then your head will explode. And so I'll spare you.
But how deep is it possible to go? I mean, we have a lot of new stuff coming out since the so-called solution in 2020. How much has all this new material helped you, would you say? I don't know. I think
the term, I keep referring to the term stay behind. That was from after 2020. I think it's you, Christian, who keeps quoting that the police before that said that if someone talked about stay behind, they said, well, should we talk about aliens as well? Like, it was just so far-fetched. After 2020, we saw, no, this is a real thing. This is not a ghost. This is not some far-out conspiracy. Stay behind is a real thing. So that's one thing that really helped us the last years. It's just 2-3 years.
And Christer Pettersson, the Palme Åklager, they looked specifically at Stay Behind. They were really trying to get into it. And one of the conclusions, and now this is what I read one of the policemen saying afterwards, was that Stay Behind was simply too secret. They couldn't penetrate it. It was too hidden away. And it's also, you know, noteworthy that Inga-Britt Ahlenius, who was in Granskningskommission, you know, she's, the only thing she's really said since she left that commission is that they didn't do their job properly, because they didn't look into Stay Behind. That's all she's really said since then. So there are many things that point to Stay Behind being a central component here. And one of the things that Anders and I have found in the last few years is a convergence of the Stay Behind world and the anti-communist world and the not only World Anti-Communist League, but that was a vehicle for that. But in the anti-communist world as such, which is, you know, to be expected because Stay Behind needed to consist of the best anti-communists. But there is also deep roots within groups that have some kind of Nazi or fascist component, especially in Sweden. Because in Sweden, you had the easiest way through the Second World War of any European country. which was a blessing for Sweden, but it became a curse because it meant that you never cleaned house. In Denmark, we had Nazis. We had as many as in Sweden, but they were all part of an aggressor who had taken over the country and who we could all agree should just piss off back to Germany. Sure. So after the war, we rooted them out. You couldn't really become anybody if you had any kind of fascist or Nazi connections. That didn't happen in Sweden. You just forgot about them.
Yeah.
And then you hid them away. And if you saw them, you became a little bit embarrassed and looked the other way. And in that way, you created a secret elite in the top of society who had Nazi-leaning sympathies. Mm-hmm. And that comes in play when we look at the Palme murder.
Sure. And I must say, I'm from Karlskrona in southern Sweden. At first, we were famous for U-137, the Soviet submarine,
exactly.
Grounded outside Karlskrona. And then in the 80s and 90s, it was like a city with very many neo-Nazis.
Yes.
And I think it's... For some reason, it's more in the southern part of Sweden, or they are more allowed there. Not allowed, but loud.
Yeah.
Speaking loud there.
Yeah.
But so we don't have such a good history.
I'm going to risk something here.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't it because that in the south parts of Sweden, southern part of Sweden, it's not where the elite lives? It's more of working class.
Sure.
So those neo-Nazis that you saw on the street, those youngsters, the skinheads, they're like the plebs. They're the working class Nazis.
Sure.
And you see them on the streets. I think you have a lot of Nazis in Stockholm and Göteborg and those places, but they're the elite Nazis. You know, you don't see them because they're sitting inside the big churches, you know, with the royal family and having something to get with them. And we see that if we look into the network of but important Nazi figures in the Swedish elite, we can see how they are connected to the global Nazi elite. You know, there are close friendships between very vital people in the Nazi establishment in Sweden, who are very close friends with the guy who invented the modern Nazi iconography, the one, the symbols that is used by Breivik, by the Christchurch shooters, by the Azov Brigade, that's made up by him. And he's also a part of a secret CIA cell in Austria. So these Nazis are active after the Second World War. They're financed often by intelligence services in the West because the Nazis are the best to fight the communists. They create a new kind of Nazism that we actually see starting to become a political power in Europe now. So the cold wind from the Second World War is still blowing.
Yeah, but coming from Denmark, as you two, is it easier or harder to look into the murder of Olof Palme, would you say?
Maybe it's harder because we don't have the same sources always as you, and the language can be difficult sometimes, and we can just drop by some archives, and so of course it's a little more difficult. But I think it's easier because we're not slave of some structures. It's like when you have to redecorate your house. It's hard for yourself to know where should I place the sofa because I'm used to it's here. So sometimes you need someone from outside come and say, no, why don't you place the sofa over here? I think maybe that's to our advantage that we don't actually we don't know what not to say.
No.
We don't know who not to.
But even more to on, we have not been brainwashed.
No.
No. But if you look at all the disinformation when it comes to the Palme case, all the theories, all the data that has been thrown into the head of the public.
Absolutely.
We haven't been subjected to that. Mm. So when we hear about Anders Larsson, we think, that's an interesting guy. How could he know? But in Sweden, he was character assassinated for decades and have been. And so there's a tendency to sort of write him off because that's what you have been indoctrinated with for a long time in the media. And we don't have that. We're brainwashed on other things. You know, it's not unusual to be brainwashed. We all are.
Yeah.
But it's when it comes to the Palme case, it's a big advantage for us that we are not.
Another person who has, they gave almost the same treatment, it's Ivan von Beeschan, a guy that allegedly at least told someone about the Palme case, Palme being murdered in a couple of weeks, but was, as you say, character assassinated almost.
I went to visit Ivan von Beeschan, and he's a really nice guy.
He is.
Yes, and there are parts of that whole Palme universe that affects me on an emotional level. And it's the Krista Pedersen story, for example. I mean, the way a state just took a guy and gave him the blame and basically a public that then, you know, just trashed the man and, you know, used him for their advantage. It was a state and a And it was the people of Sweden and the Swedish state who killed Christer Pedersen, and they just did it because they needed somebody to hurt because they had been hurt by the Olof Palme murder. It's such a tragic, disgusting story, that whole thing. And the same with Anders Larsson, to some extent, the way he was treated. Even von Beeschan, my God, you know.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He comes forward and says some of the most dangerous things you can say on a personal level. He does it because he actually believes at in the country that he has adopted as his own. You know, he does it not to make money, not to do anything beyond being a good, responsible citizen of Sweden. And he gets trashed by the Swedish state and the Swedish public. And it's unbearable to look at. And there are examples of that in the Palme case where I still get so pissed off. And it affects me emotionally because the tragedy of the Olof Palme case is not only the brutal murder of a helpless good man, it's the people that were sacrificed afterwards for entertainment, for the good feeling of the society. It's I'm sorry, that was a rant, but I needed to get it off my chest.
Sure. And I was thinking about, as you said, Christer Pettersson, about media's role in his demise, so to speak, because TV3 in Sweden and among others, Robert Aschberg, almost held him hostage. They gave him a couple of thousands, and say, please, almost admit that you killed Olof Palme.
But it's not only them. Right. They had editors. They had bosses at the radio stations, at the TV stations, at the newspapers. Everybody was making money off that tragedy.
Yep.
And everybody was making sure that you were looking in the wrong places as a society. I mean, it's the worst. Shame on you.
Anders, do you think it could happen today? I mean, if you have a suspect in a murder case and he gets dismissed in a trial, could it ever happen again, like this crazy story about Christer Pettersson?
Yeah, I think it would. Okay. I think it would, because it reminds me of reality television or something like that. We just love to watch poor people doing crazy stuff for our entertainment. I think it could happen again. Of course it could. I don't think that changed.
Mm-hmm. Part of whole that thing has been industrialized since.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's been made into a TV genre.
I think on YouTube you can Google the best of Christer Pettersson and just a compilation of him saying stupid or fun things, or maybe just falls over or something like that. He's become a comical figure. Mm. And I'm with Christian on this one. I don't think it's suitable.
No. But back to the Staying Behind network, is it still active in some sense? Is it still something to fear, or?
We can't go into that.
you saw me fishing for that answer. No. But what do we know about the Staying Behind network after 86, after the murder of Olof Palme?
I'll start another place with that.
Okay.
Some people say, and I even talked to people here today at this seminar, and they still go around saying, but it couldn't be a conspiracy, because if more than three people know about a secret, it will come out. And then my answer would be, there were at least 30,000 people. 30,000 people. I say it again, 30,000 people who knew about Stay Behind in Europe, and nothing came up before, after the Cold War ended.
Sure.
So 30,000 people keeping the biggest secret of an organization that is basically, you know, in a gray zone where it's borderline illegal, because the whole point of it is that it's not part of the system. And that was kept a secret. So what was the question?
How much do we know about Stay Behind nowadays?
For example, if you look at Ukraine, we know that in the weeks before the invasion, there were special forces from the U.S. in Ukraine, specifically to train Stay Behind networks in those areas that they were sure would be overrun by the Russians. Mm-hmm. So how it's implemented right now in Europe, it's very difficult to say, because it for sure has transformed into something different from what it was during the Cold War. But that it's there is for sure, for damn sure. And especially, you know, if you look at the Baltic states, if you look at Finland, those border countries bordering Russia, it's there. And it's also in Sweden. It's also in Denmark. I don't think that it's more like latent. I think it's on a much the activity that goes on within what we can call Stay Behind is much less now, because the threat of actually being overrun is much less. But it's still an eventuality that you, as a responsible military leader in a country, would have to consider. What would we do if we were overrun? So it's, of course, it's there. Mm-hmm. But actually, to be completely honest, I don't want to find out. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah. That leads us to, I think, my final question for now, at least, and that is to both of you: do you think that the murder of Olof Palme will be solved? I mean, solved in a more definite way than in 2020. And if so, why or why not?
Anders? Oh, don't ask me. I don't think it would be solved. Not in like a court, and you could get anyone in jail for murdering Olof Palme. Mm. I think we could get a fine idea of what happened. Mm. I think it would be difficult to find out one who was the guy with the gun. I think that would be really, really difficult. But I think we could come up with a good idea of who was behind. Mm. And how was it made? How was it done?
We will get much closer to a solution that people can believe than what we have been. Mm. If you look at what the police let out in 2020 and that scandalous press conference, we will have something that is better. And in the coming years, we will see storylines being told based on data from the archives that we are now getting. And the new data that comes from, you know, when the police give us data, that feeds other data that is out there, but we didn't know was relevant. Mm. So I mean, it will become a lot. And just right now, the story we can tell about Anders Larsen that we couldn't tell 2 years ago, it's an incredible, believable story that underlines his capacity as a whistleblower. Mm. And I think that within a few years, we will see books and other works that will stand on documented facts in a way that is irrefutable for the public. And I also think that there will be a new generations of politicians who understand that for Sweden to be healed as a society, to actually have a state where the contract with the police and the inhabitants of the state is reestablished, you need to solve this. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of the problems that you have right now in Sweden with criminality is based on the breakdown of a societal contract between the Swedes and their police. You have so many shootings, so many killings, so many crimes where the police can't get witnesses. They know that there's 20 witnesses. None of them will talk. It's because you lost the contract with the police, and you lost it on the 28th of February. And if you want to heal that, you need to, as a state, reopen this, put down a commission, get the truth out there, heal the pain by going through the pain, not by ignoring it.
Och det säger alltså våra danska vänner om Palmemordet och Stay Behind. Och ni undrar kanske varför vi inte lägger ut klipp ur själva föredragen här i podden. Och det är enligt arrangörernas vilja, för att om allt hamnar på Facebook eller YouTube dagen efter så minskar såklart attraktionsvärdet av konferensen och också viljan för folk att ställa upp och stötta initiativtagarna ekonomiskt. De har själva gått in med stora pengar för att kunna genomföra eventet och den deltagaravgift som togs ut täcker i princip bara maten vi serverades till lunch. Men vid just lunchen och andra pauser fanns också möjlighet att vimla och prata med deltagare och publik. Här sprang vi till exempel på Lars Borgnäs, som jag tror fastnade på åtskilliga foton under dagen, och vår tidigare gäst i podden, Mark Pennatz. Mark Pennatz, du och jag har pratat tidigare kring Palmemordet och Christer Ahr. Nu möts vi på Palmemordskonferensen. Vad tycker du om konferensen så här långt?
Det är mycket intressant. Det är ett mycket bra initiativ. Vad som är intressant är att man hör olika åsikter om Palmemordet. Och det är egentligen något för alla, så att säga. Ja.
Är det någon speciell talare som har fascinerat dig av de som har varit hittills? Vi befinner oss nu på eftermiddagens rast här.
Ja, det
Jag tyckte att Göran Björkdahl som talade om Sydafrikaspåret hade en intressant berättelse som delvis var redan känt, men ändå var det bra att höra fler detaljer. Och det var också väl dokumenterat. Och jag också tycker att David Fredin fick en möjlighet att, att ge sin opinion om vad Jan Stockdals hade skrivit. Och det var också bra att vi fick höra den en gång.
Och när du själv ska tala sen, jag misstänker att det blir Christer A som är det stora ämnet, eller?
Ja, det är Christer A. Det är det som jag har redan publicerat en bok om, och jag var också med i Palmemordspodden.
Under dagen medverkade också en möjligen något grånad men pigg och glad herre som återföljdes av ett filmteam. Målet var att göra en dokumentär om personen i fråga. Jag blev själv lite förvånad över att se honom där, för jag hade ingen aning om hans intresse för Palmemordet. Och givetvis var jag tvungen att be om en intervju. Ted Åström, för det är honom jag pratar om, ställde glatt upp och berättade dessutom att han brukade lyssna på vår podd med jämna mellanrum. För er som inte känner till Ted brukar det räcka med att säga att han spelade Olyckan tillsammans med Trasan och Banane för att folk ska veta. Men han har ju gjort så oändligt mycket mer. Han har till exempel spelat i ett stort antal band och är också en framstående skådespelare som medverkat i bland annat Madicken, Repmånad, julkalendern Trolltider och som reseledaren i den första Sällskapsresan. Ja, och så som Olyckan i Trasan och Banane då. Ted Åström är musiker och skådespelare och Palme-intresserad också tydligen.
Ja, det är jag, riktigt nörd. Jag läser allting. Och sen 87 faktiskt, då var jag på min första sån här träff, man kan säga. Ja, just det.
Och nu är vi ju på en Palmemordskonferens 2023. Vad är skillnaden mot det som du upplevde 87 där då?
Ja, det är väl det att alla håller på med sina mobiltelefoner först och främst. Det är väl liksom det enda, tycker jag. Sen är det väl lite mer blandat, tror jag. Mm. Mycket tjejer och så här. Då var det mest gamla stofilegubbar som muttrar.
Men du har varit intresserad av ämnet sen det mordet skedde då, misstänker jag.
Ja, jag läste rättegången mot Christer Pettersson som Claes Borgström skrev den där. Jag läste även Gunnar Wall sen, och jag läste mycket böcker. Och sen, inte mycket, men sen lyssnade jag på er podd. Det kan jag göra.
Ja, trevligt. Nu har vi ungefär halva dagen här. Är det någon speciell talare som du har uppmärksammat lite extra?
Ja, jag tycker att Sydafrika-grejen var ganska bra. Mm. Det var ju saker som inte jag visste så mycket. Sen de andra har jag ju hört lite grann på era poddar och sådär, faktiskt.
Och om man får ställa frågan, har du någon egen, ska vi kalla det favoritteori? Eller?
Ja, man får inte svära kyrkan, men det jag tror kan, jag är inte helt säker på att Sigrid är oskyldig. Jag tycker det finns mycket omständigheter kring honom som är lite konstiga faktiskt. Och det gör mig lite sådär. Och sen så tycker jag det är lite så här fyllmord, att man pang bara liksom gör någonting i en jävla lönehelg. Massa folk runt omkring. Alltså jag tycker det inte verkar organiserat på det viset. Va? Men sen så när man hör av andra här, då är det ju organiserat bara så bara fan. Alltså det är väldigt organiserat. Oj. Men jag vet inte, jag är inte helt säker på att Stig Engström är oskyldig. Det är han faktiskt inte. Däremot vill jag inte säga det. Det är bara min personliga uppfattning. Det är ju ingen fakta. Utan det var ju...
Men vad tror du, finns det någon möjlighet att mordet kommer att lösas alltså på något sätt? Att vi har någon som vi kan så att säga se som skyldig?
Nej, det tror jag inte. Jag tror det blir sådär som Kennedy-mordet. Man spekulerar hit och dit. Nu har det ju kommit nya grejer med Oliver Stone, och den har ju visat då att Lee Harvey Oswald var ju en påhittad figur egentligen. Han förekom ju även i andra städer som reservkillar, så det är möjligt att det kan vara så, men jag tror det kommer att fortsätta spekuleras om det inte kommer fram en teknisk historia som kan bevisa att DNA pryr på blockar eller liknande. Det kan ju eventuellt göra, det vet inte jag. Men det vet ju ingen.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nu kom ännu fler intressanta föredrag slag i slag. Henrik Andersson var först ut efter lunch och berättade detaljerat och informativt om Skandiahuset och dess eventuella hemligheter. Vi fick också veta vad den omtalade hemliga gången som kunde ses på foton i samband med en ombyggnad i början av 2010-talet ledde. Men en av dagens absolut största behållningar, i alla fall för mig som sitter med Sydafrikaspåret, var att höra Göran Björkdals föreläsning. Göran har sedan tidigare gjort en dokumentärfilm om Dag Hammarskjöld och i samma veva fått upp intresset för Palmemordet. Han berättade livfullt och engagerat om sina möten med sydafrikaner med vetskap om mordet, eller påstådd sådan. Och jag hoppas att vi kan göra en intervju med Göran senare under året. Dagens kanske mest oväntade gäst var inte en författare, filmare eller journalist. Det var en misstänkt. I alla fall om man får tro Jan Stocklassas bok Stig Larssons arkiv, Nyckeln till Palmemordet. I boken kallas han Jakob Tedelin, men i själva verket heter han David Fredin. I 10 minuter pratade han om de felaktigheter som han tycker att boken innehåller om honom själv. Men jag tyckte att 10 minuter var alldeles för lite. Så jag satte mig och intervjuade honom i ungefär en timme. Och det avsnittet kommer ni också att få höra inom kort. På grund av den intervjun så missade jag tyvärr några föredrag som jag hade sett fram emot. Som till exempel när Carl Kyle berättade om sin utredning av GMP-objekt F och när Anders Malmqvist pratade om en personlig favorit, nämligen Viktor Gunnarsson. Men jag hoppas kunna återkomma till dem under året med längre intervjuer. Dagen avslutades med en diskussion om Palmemordsarkivet och frågan om man ville se en ny konferens förslagsvis om ett år. På det här svarade publiken med ett enhälligt ja. Det är också värt att notera att konferensen var så långt bort från bilderna vi sett på tv med privatspanare på en Finlandsfärja som man bara kan komma. Alla inlägg i debatten var ytterst seriösa och mixen av talare var väl sammansatt av arrangörerna. För de som ville fanns det sedan möjlighet att fukta strupen efter en lång dag på konferensen och under tiden ägna sig åt samtal om ämnet vi alla var där för, Palmemordet. Vi från poddens sida vill rikta ett stort tack till arrangörerna Jonas Nyman och Mattias Kressmark för en väl genomförd konferens och även tacka alla talare och funktionärer som gjorde den här dagen möjlig. Förhoppningsvis kommer konferensen att återkomma och då hoppas jag att ni tar chansen att förkovra er och mingla med andra intresserade i ämnet. För det här var en dag som gjord för just det. Jag vill slutligen påminna er om att ni kan stötta oss ekonomiskt för att se till att vi kan göra ännu fler och ännu bättre avsnitt. Alla sätt att göra detta på, det hittar du i avsnittsbeskrivningen. Om du vill stötta Palmemordsarkivet och därmed också en eventuell kommande konferens, gå till palmemordsarkivet.se och klicka på fliken donationer. Där finns informationen som ni behöver. Om du vill komma i kontakt med oss om tips, frågor om podden eller liknande, så gör ni det enklast på simwaypodcast@gmail.com. Alltså simwaypodcast@gmail.com. Och den här adressen kan du använda för alla Dans poddar om du behöver komma i kontakt med honom eller andra involverade. Det här var veckans avsnitt av podden Palmemordet som idag gjordes av mig, Tobias Henriksson på PRS Media. För mer information om mig och mina projekt besök facebook.com/prsmedia.se eller gilla oss på Instagram där vi heter PRS Media. Ett ord, små bokstäver. Stort tack till alla som på olika sätt deltog på årets konferens. Men framförallt, stort tack för att du lyssnar på podden Palmemordet.
Man hittar Palmes mördare om man följer PKK-spåret till botten.
För att ända sedan Julius Caesars tid har aldrig hört talas om ett mord på en framstående politiker som inte har politiska skäl.
Polisens och åklagarens teori var att han ensam hade skjutit Olof Palme. Och det ledde också till rättegång, men han frikändes i hovrätten.